We might ask ourselves the question, what difference can I make? You ever feel inadequate, like you just can't do a whole lot? And, you talk to people and you do whatever you can, and it seems like nothing comes of it, and you feel like you just can't make a difference. You might ask the question, what's it all about? I mean, if I can't make any difference, what's the whole purpose here? And the truth of the matter is, you know this to be a fact, God left us here for a reason. If he didn't have anything for us to accomplish after we got saved, he would have taken us home to be with him. But we do have a purpose for being here, and we do have a way of making a difference. And if you want to make a difference, what I'm talking about is not making a difference. It makes a difference when you, for example, I'm glad those folks in Texas went out and rescued the people that were stranded in their homes. And I've actually had the privilege, when I was in the National Guard, of doing some of that. And going to people in flooded homes and bringing them out of their homes and putting them in a truck and taking them to safety. But that does make a difference. But what really makes a difference is when we do things that have an eternal impact, like a soul being saved or a life being changed. And that's really our ultimate goal, is to make that eternal impact. How can we make a difference? Oh, by the way, do we have any children that are going to go with you? Does Hope want to go back, or is she doing fine? Okay, all right, good. In John chapter 6, that question is answered, and I want to just show you a few things, and you know the story quite well, but I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read part of it at least. So let's stand, if you would, please, in John chapter 6, once you find your place, and I want to read a few verses here, beginning in John chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as many as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we absolutely realize our insufficiency, our inability, our great need, and Lord, our powerlessness to do things in and of ourselves. But Lord, we look into John chapter 6 and we see a great accomplishment that was done because you did the work and you provided the need and you met that need in a miraculous way. Lord, tonight we come before you and Lord, some folks here might be discouraged, wondering what difference they could make. And some here might be discouraged, wondering why so many folks seem to not care anymore, seem to have given up. I pray tonight that somehow we'd be re-encouraged by this passage, and that we once again would trust you and would go forth as you send us with your provision to meet the needs of many. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. You see a word. You see in verse 2, it's there again in verse 14, it's that word miracle. And undoubtedly, you understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ did a miracle, it wasn't a little thing, it was a big thing. He raised the dead, he healed the lepers, he gave sight to the blind. And the Lord Jesus Christ can make a difference, amen? There shouldn't be any doubting that. Mr. Hickson and I came across a fellow last night, and he was the most polite atheist I've met in a long time. And polite enough that he let us just keep on sneaking things in, and we snuck in three or four or five different things, and when we left, I felt sad because it seemed like maybe something might have broken through. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I can talk all night, and if God doesn't work, nothing's going to happen. I may have some great ideas. We should recognize that when we teach and when we preach. When you teach your Sunday school class, or if you teach a Bible lesson, or whatever you do, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We really can't do anything. I mean, we can see that. The Lord wanted to do this miracle, and the purpose is given there in verse 14, so that men would know that this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. In other words, when the result is seen, it should magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can't do anything without him, because whatever we do doesn't bring glory to him, it brings glory to us, and he's the one that deserves all the glory. But I meet a lot of people that seem to have lost faith in the fact that God might want to use them or that might be able to use them to make a difference. Even sometimes people that have been in the ministry that seem to have just faded away to the point to where they're not doing anything anymore. And it's a shame, and I'll show you why. A couple of things here. First of all, look at verse 2. It says, this great multitude saw his miracles. And then it says in verse 5, Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him. And I want you to just see something right there real quick. Number one, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ sees the multitude that's in need. He sees the people out there that are in need. He sees that fellow that we talked to last night that doesn't want to believe there's a God, or that somehow got dissuaded from that in his own mind. And he sees people that are going to die and go to hell. Folks, the Lord really does care. We say, you know, it's so sad that so many people are suffering like they are and dying and going to hell. Folks, it's not because the Lord doesn't care. He does care. He does see the need. And the fact that he sees the need ought to get our attention a little bit because of what he says next. He says there in verse 5 once again, he says, whence shall, look at this word, we buy bread? You know, this is an interesting thing. The Lord sees their need, but he includes us when it comes time to meet that need. Can I ask you a question? Did he really need the disciples at all? All he'd have had to do, he didn't even have to ask the question. He could have just said, have everybody sit down. I know there's 5 loaves and 2 fishes over here. Bring them to me. He could have done it all. But he gave them the privilege of being a part of saving, of delivering those folks, of meeting their needs. It is not a burden to meet the needs of the folks around us. It's a privilege, amen? It is an opportunity. God didn't have to use us. He could have done it all himself, but he gave us that privilege of being a part of the effort. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel all that privileged when I go door to door and people tell me to go away. You might not, but last night we felt privileged when 2 different people stopped and prayed and asked Christ to save them. That's pretty good stuff. Mr. Hickson and I make a good team. He talks and I pray. And we really have done well with that. And last night, on both occasions, I just prayed the whole time. And again, God doesn't need me, but he lets me be a part of this. God doesn't need Brother Hickson, but he lets him be a part of this. God could have written the gospel in the stars. God could have, he could have let the thunders sound out the truth, but he lets us be a part of meeting the needs of those people. He sees them and he cares, and he wants us to be a part of that. So here you are tonight, and we say, well, Pastor, there's not a whole lot of us. That's not the point. The fact is, isn't it great to be privileged tonight to come together and pray and be a part of meeting people's needs? I'm telling you, we saw the answers to prayer that God gave us this week. Did he answer all of them? No, there's still some to go. But I was blessed to see how much God did. I was blessed to see, for example, a visitor on Sunday morning, to hear from Tom Jensen that his scan came back negative, to learn that we prayed for souls and two people got saved. We prayed for a bus driver. We got five of them. They're not driving buses, but they're driving, amen? And I'm guessing five's about the number. It may be more than that. God answered our prayers. God met our needs. And he does that. He lets us be a part of what he's doing, even though we can't do anything. He really could do it all. He does not need us, but he's blessed us enough that he's willing to use us. He says, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, put yourself in the shoes of Philip, who, by the way, has asked some good questions later on. I like his situation in John 14. But anyway, put yourself in Philip's shoes. The Lord comes to you, not the person next to you, and says, "How are you going to reach Phoenix with the gospel?" We take everything we got. We take all the people we got. We take all the money we got. And we go work at it hard. It's not going to get very far. It's obvious what he's trying to do. Do you see? There's two things here that are really obvious. Number one, he's pointing out the fact that we don't have the resources. That's okay. We don't have the resources. Folks, I can't cure anybody. I can't save anybody. I can't meet most people's needs. And you can't either. And when the Lord says, "How are we going to do this?" It's just a privilege of being part of the work. The answer is obvious. Lord, we're really not going to do it. You're going to do it. It's just a blessing that you included us in this. So here we are tonight. And I won't count heads, but let's say there's 20 of us. And here we are tonight. And you say, "How are we going to make a difference in the lives of all these people that we're praying for? How are we going to get that bus to have a driver and run every week? How are we going to get a soul saved this week? How are we going to have a first-time visitor here this week?" Now, there's some things we can do. We can invite people, and please do. But honestly, it's the Lord that does the work. He points out our insufficiency, our weakness. The question itself is, whence shall we buy bread? Well, we can't. But the question also points out his great sufficiency. I just guess now, reading behind, if it had been me knowing what I know now, I suppose I would have said, "Lord, we can't, but you can." Amen? He can, can't he? What can God do? God can do anything. He can't lie, I know, but he can meet our needs. He has the power to do the things that we pray for him to do. One more thing. So Philip answers in verse 7. He says, "Lord, our resources are insufficient." True statement. But look at verse 8 and I'll be done. He says, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And that's the last that the disciples are involved until they begin serving, because after that, the Lord does the miracle of providing. But I'm thinking about verse 9, and I'm just asking the question, what would happen if we came to God with what we have? You say, "Pastor, I don't have hardly anything." No, not much. Five barley loaves and two fishes among 5,000 people, that's not much. But what would happen if we came to God with what we have and said, "Lord, I don't have anything, but what I have is yours to use"? We do have a few things. They're not sufficient. We have some time. We have some possessions. We have some gifts he's given us to reach people. I mean, he's given some of you, for example, the ability to work with children, and some of you the ability to play musical instruments, and some of you the ability to sing, and some of you the ability to clean the church and all the rest. And he's given some of us the ability to organize or whatever and to administer. God's given us a little something. What if all of us came together and just gave God what little we have? He's going to do all the work anyway, basically. He's going to make all the provision, is he not? So tonight, we come together, and in our prayer meeting tonight, the goal is we want to come before the Lord and thank you for being here tonight to pray. It makes a difference. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How does that work? All I did was pray. Right. We prayed and God does the work. And we pray believing, right? This is not an experiment. This is, if I can change and use the letter E again, it's an exercise. We do what little we can, and God's going to do great things. Now, if you would amplify that a little bit and not just do it on Wednesday night from 7 to 8, but if you'd come out on Tuesday night at 6:30, and maybe, for example, you'd take some tracts in your pocket and hand those out during the week and invite people to church and pray for souls every day and pray for visitors every day and more than just an hour on Wednesday night, give God that little bit that you have, He can do a miracle, amen? That's what we're asking for tonight's a miracle. God, do the things that we cannot do. We recognize, thank you, Lord, for letting us be a small part by praying. And it makes a difference that we are that part, but it makes a very little difference except for the fact that God makes all the difference. So don't underestimate the power of prayer, but also don't overestimate your ability. Truly, what we can do is come to God tonight and ask Him for these needs. Amen? So I'm going to have a word of prayer. Then the invitation is going to be prayer requests, and we're going to divide up and pray. And folks, God's going to do something that would not otherwise have happened if we hadn't given Him what little we have tonight. Amen? Let's pray.